Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom and welcome to The Last Full Measure with Ted Hayes and myself, Eric Johnson. Greetings, Ted. How are you?
Shabbat Shalom, Eric. Today is Saturday, the day of rest of the Lord and of the Hebrew peoples around the world. So Shabbat meaning Saturday, Shalom meaning peace. Peace on your day of rest. Shabbat Shalom, my brother. Blessings.
Amen, and shalom in Jerusalem. So how are you? How are you doing? It was a crazy week for you, I hear.
I'm good because, you know, the darker it gets out here with all this madness, the brighter my star shines that the Lord has given to me to be one of those children of the stars that God had promised to come to Abraham. You know, I'm not Jewish by tradition or genetics or anything like that, but I'm Jewish by faith because remember what the Lord said to Abraham, you'll be the father of many nations, many Goyim. So I'm a Hamitic black Goyim Jew. My star is shining bright, bright.
Amen.
So the enemy got to put on sunshades.
So I was we were chatting earlier about our last show. We kind of had
the learning episode. Wait, hold on. I forgot. How are you?
I'm good. You know, doing my thing. Was it court on Wednesday? Had a good day at court. So that was good to do. I mean, do that only a couple times a month, but it's fun. I always enjoy doing that. So that's what
you
I was
come,
doing this week.
The judge.
Well, the hearing officer, yes. Yeah, so anyways, but... yeah, it was. It's been a good week for us. It's been an interesting week, especially with what's been going on. But I think I want to get back to our last episode.
Yes, sir.
The learning episode. That's why I call it the learning, because that here we are doing the show, and it's telling me, okay, 3, 2, 1, you know, we're done, not realizing it's still recording. It's like, oh, so I think we really gave people a good idea what today's show's about on you know, Trump and President Trump, and it's been an interesting, you know, last 24 hours.
Yes, it has.
The budget and stuff. And you and I were talking about that. You think you have a good thought on that, on the president, what he's really doing?
Yeah, I've counseled with other people like Ron Lutters and different ones there in Phoenix and here in L.A. And what I'm getting from the guys who seem to be more closer to the political arena than I am, that this could be, you know, a major long-term chess move on the president's part. And I kind of agree with that because people keep forgetting this guy is not an idiot. He has to be smart, and he's an actor, and he knows how to play people off of people. He showed us that with his whole reality TV show, The Apprentice. So this guy is cunning. And you know that guy, what's his name, Schumer,
yes.
Grinning like the other. I saw him on TV grinning like the freaking devil, man. You know, I kind of think that Trump has basically trapped them cats, man, for the midterms. He just set them up in a major way. He stole DACA from them. Whether you agree with DACA or not, he took that out of there off their table. They have no weaponry. They're finished.
Wow.
I think that this guy is really no one can be a multi-billionaire and have international business around the world and be a dummy.
Yeah.
Okay?
True. Very true. Very true.
Kidding me.
Very true. Now, you were mentioning at the little hot mic issue on our last show about the president wanting to be like Abraham Lincoln, if not more so. Could you kind of go into a little bit what you're thinking on that?
Sure, you know, and I'll be honest about this. I was never a Donald Trump fan, to be honest with you, man. And frankly, I didn't like the guy, you know, to a certain degree. But when he came down that elevator stairs that day, and he said that he was going to build a wall to end illegal immigration, he caught my attention. And then when he went on to say later, he said that black people have been hurt by illegal immigration more than anybody else in the country. He got my attention more. Then he pointed out how the Democrats have really ran over black people and abused us. He really got my attention. Then he says in the inner cities are really messed up by the Democrats. He got my attention. But then he said something. He said, I want to help you. Then he said, I want to be like Abraham Lincoln. He said, in fact, I want to be greater than Abraham Lincoln. Now, that's code to us black folks, because us chattel slave descendants, because Abraham Lincoln, though a white guy, is our greatest political hero. And he's greater than Martin Luther King. And when he said that, what he's saying is, not only do I want to be like Lincoln, which was focused on us, but I want to finish what Lincoln started. I want to finish where he was cut off on April the 14th, 1865, by the assassin, the Democrat assassin, John Wilkes Booth, the play actor. Lincoln died that night with these three things on his mind: the chattel slaves' freedom, their citizenship, and their authority and right to participate in governing the nation, which means the vote. And it was that last point, the 15th Amendment, the thought that became the 15th Amendment, was the one of which John Wilkes Booth, when he heard him say that 20 feet away at the White House, was giving a speech that night after the war, he said, "We got to kill him. We got to kill this guy. He has committed the cardinal sin. He wants to not just free the slaves and give them citizenship with us white people. He wants them to rule white people. We cannot have that. This man must die. He's blasphemed." So anybody who says that they want to do better than Lincoln, I don't know what other thing they could be speaking about other than finishing what was on Abraham Lincoln's mind that night. And I want to hold Mr. Trump to that. And I think it's a wonderful thing to hold him to. And I think he wants us to hold him to that. He can't do it by himself. We have to help him. And that's what I want to do, help him be Abraham Lincoln. By the way, somebody said, "Well, don't you think that's the height of egotism?" Yeah.
But it's a good height.
What we need.
It's a good egotism. You're absolutely right. That's what we need. That's right. We need someone to do that. It's amazing what he wants to achieve, what he has already achieved. When we think about just Israel as a nation, what he's done.
Baruch Hashem.
I mean, think of what he's done for Jerusalem.
Huge, man. I mean, this guy, some people say he's a Cyrus, you know, the Gentile who orchestrated the freedom of Israel back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall and rebuild Jerusalem. And you know, they want to jump on him about his the salaciousness of his private life and all of that. But, you know, he does without sin cast the first stone, you know. And you know, I don't think the Lord's really that concerned about that. The Lord had to deal with David, okay, King David.
Ooh, yeah.
How many women did David have? And all those things, and God is a pretty big fella, and I think the Lord has raised up Donald Trump to fulfill prophecy, because I think the day that President Trump said, Jerusalem is eternal capital of Israel and Jews forever, I believe, about the dispensations of grace and all those things, I think that we, and I'm going to check this with a theologian friend of mine at Fuller Theological Seminary here in Pasadena. I think that we've entered into something no one really paid much attention to. It's called the Dispensation of Jerusalem. The Dispensation of Jerusalem. This is a special time that's signaling the coming of the Mashiach, HaMashiach, Yeshua,
Mashiach
Jesus.
Nagit. Yes. The Mashiach Nagit, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think
wow.
That's what the, you know, and oftentimes people think that the Lord uses people who are perfect. No, he uses broken vessels. He uses the outcast. He uses the least among us. He uses those, he uses things that are not to bring to nothing those things which are. And Donald Trump is not the guy you would think that the Lord would actually use for a holy cause.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. It's amazing who he chooses to use to make sure that his will is done and accomplished. And I think when he made that statement about Jerusalem being the capital of Israel, he just essentially put God's grace on us that no matter what he does, he will and we will and the nation will be blessed, meaning the president will be blessed what he does. So in hearing what's happened with the budget and all this going on, it's like, you know what, I'm taking courage that his step on what he did for Israel and for Jerusalem, I think that just put a huge blanket of God's grace on this nation.
That's
what I personally
think.
That's why we close our show. We intend to close our show, Shalom in Jerusalem. And I think people are like, okay, why do you say that? And Ted, you're really good. I mean, you're the one that's taught me to say that. Why do we say that?
The scriptures teaches us in Psalms that the Lord said, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if I forget you, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, and let my right hand forget her cunning." And he says, pray for the peace. Pray for the shalom of Jerusalem. For in praying for the shalom of Jerusalem, you will prosper. And I've been doing that ever since I've learned that from him. And I have to say, I've seen the results of that. And so, yeah, Eric, you're right to make that as our calling card or our slogan, what have you. Because every time we say that, and my Jewish brothers say to me, when I say something like really powerful, like we, you know, sometimes take a miracle, they'll go, yeah, from your mouth to God's ears. And I say, yeah, that's why I say it, because if I don't say it, he won't hear it. He wants us to say these great things so he can act upon it. So the more we say, shalom in Jerusalem, shalom Jerusalem, it goes to his ears. And he says, yeah, I got that, because I don't want my tongue cleaving to the roof of my mouth either, and I want my right hand to continue being cutting. So you guys keep saying that to me, shalom in Jerusalem.
Way to be encouraging the audience. I'm sure the audience is going, wow, this is new. So getting our audience to say shalom in Jerusalem would be exciting for me. Exciting for me. So I want to move us to a different subject, and that's Sacramento and what's going on there with the Black Lives and what's happening. You've been paying very close to that. What's going on up there in Sacramento?
Yeah, man. You guys have been listening in the news. Once again, a young black man has provoked his own death. Provoked. Did you hear me? I said he provoked on death. This kid is out there in the streets, apparently, smashing car windows with some kind of a metal implement and people's windows of people's homes, private property. And of course, the kid looking for a thrill, because there's not much for young black men and women to do in America, in the inner cities and so forth and so on. Our great athletes, all they could do is kneel in football fields instead of doing things about these kids' energies. And the kid, someone called the police, rightly so, because there's been a lot of theft and vandalism in that particular community. And these two police officers, after the helicopter sees him, they go after the guy. They're foot running in through the backyards, and they catch up to the guy, and the guy, he says, you know, they tell him to stop, stand still, whatever. And the guy waits about 5 or 6 seconds, and he raises his phone. The police do not know it's a phone. It's dark. He raises his phone. They fire. Yeah, they shot 20-some times, and it was a horrific thing, and it looks like overkill. Perhaps it is, but we keep forgetting police officers are not computers. They're not machines. They're human beings. And when you get this guy running, his adrenaline is up. All of a sudden, he goes into training mode. He's scared. You know how many police officers have been killed this year? Hey, you know, these guys want to go home. They'll take their chance in court. But I think that guy's got a gun over there, and I'm not taking any chances. I'm shooting, and I'm going to shoot until he's not moving anymore. I'm sorry. Now, let the courts decide. But, folks, I say to all the young black men when I see them, thank you, young man, for staying alive. And when the police officer tells you to stop or do what they tell you to do, do it. Do not run, because you may set that guy off. He's only a human being. And, yeah, he may end up being wrong, but guess what? He'll find another job somewhere else or get demoted or fired even, okay? But you're dead. Yeah, your parents may get some money, but you're dead. They're hurt, and that's a sad thing. Come on, brothers. Be wise here. But I don't blame that young kid as much as I blame, where was his mom and dad? He's staying with his grandmother. Where's his mom and dad? Point two, where is the African-American leadership? Conservative as well as liberal. I'm not hearing a word from the black leadership in this community or this country.
From either side.
Either side.
From nobody.
Nobody.
Wow.
Amazed. 21 hasn't said nothing.
Wow.
My own organization.
Well, folks, it's been another exciting 15 minutes, and we're coming down to the close of our show. So please, tune in next time. Shalom in Jerusalem.
Shalom and Jerusalem.